Good morning. This morning's scripture reading will be coming from Genesis chapter 18, verses 6 through 13. Again, that is Genesis 18, 6 through 13. And Abraham quickly went into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quick, 3 seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the young man, who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf, and that he prepared, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She is in the tent. The Lord said, 'I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son.'" And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?'"
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you, and happy Mother's Day to those who are mothers, but also to everyone, because I want to include this in my lesson today, that everyone can do some mothering, amen? And I think we all need mothering sometimes. So I also need to make some quick announcements that were given to me after the announcements were already made. And one of them was, we heard about 3 churches that were bombed in China, and he wanted that. Yes, sir? In Java, okay. And so he wanted us to add that to our prayers, that we would pray for those people involved in that. And also, Brother Washington has given us some news that his girls are all going to go to Oklahoma. And that's kind of sad news for me, because I don't know, I won't be able to go to Walmart anymore. It just won't be the same. So Aaliyah, Aliyah, Sonny, I never did get your names all sorted out. I knew your faces, and I could see the sweetness of your soul. Really wonderful girls, and we're going to miss you. So remember that you're Christians when you go to Oklahoma. Find a church and get plugged into service there. Amen? All right. We know everyone's going to miss you. Hope you'll come back soon and see us too. Well, those are the things that were brought up to me this morning. And then I've got this thing behind me. Does it say anything up there? Oh, that Bible mothering. And so I wanted to talk about that. You noticed in our scripture reading this morning we had Sarah. And so I kind of zeroed in on Sarah. But we might think of many mothers who are in our mental inventory of mothers and motherhood, you know. For example, Adam's wife, Eve, Noah's wife. We don't know her name. We know her children, and we're all related to her. And there are great-grandmothers, aren't they? Eve and Noah's wife. We don't know how many, 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 many greats, but we know it's great that they were willing to fulfill the role of first woman and the woman after the flood, who was the mother of Ham, Shem, and Japheth, through whom we are all here today. Sarah was called the mother of nations. Her name used to be Sarai. God changed it to Sarah, because that meant something better. And Rebekah, mother of Jacob and Esau, Leah, Rachel, Bilhah, and Zilpah were the moms of the 12 tribes of Israel. Hannah was the mother of Samuel, and we know that story and what pain that was for her to finally wait and wait and wait and be criticized by Peninnah, and finally was able to have Samuel, her son. Elizabeth was the mother of John the Immerser, and Mary of Nazareth, the mother of Jesus. Important mothers in our history. We might ask ourselves, who was the youngest, who was the oldest, who was the wisest, the happiest, the most influential, or who had the most children? Which ones are we all physically related to? And we've seen that, Eve and Noah's wife. Which ones were the best spiritual example? Mothers are a really good, important spiritual example, we hope, in everyone's life. Amen. And how many gave birth by divine intervention? There were a few, weren't there? Who among us was not at one time attached to an umbilical cord? Who at one time was not attached to an umbilical cord? So motherhood's an important thing for all of us. Even Paul claims that he and the other men had done some mothering. 1 Thessalonians 2:7-8, "But we proved to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us." So spiritual motherhood doesn't always involve giving physical birth. Spiritual motherhood isn't even always done by a female. So let us all think about what we can do to encourage and nurture others in that way. What a good example Paul and the other men were who gently helped people become what God wanted them to be. And Peter speaks of the milk of the word, and others speak of the milk of the word and the idea of getting past that and onto the meat of the word, the need for growth, and a mother is needed through all of that. Edna Carson. Edna was an elderly African-American woman. She had the grip of a man. She had big hands. She was rather tall, and Edna was a character indeed. She lived through the Dust Bowl. I mean, she was, last time I saw Edna, she was 94 years old and still mowing her own yard. You know, a friend of mine, Chester Kelly, says stay away from doctors because they'll always find stuff they can't fix. But that was kind of true in Edna's case because she was doing fine until they got too many prescriptions in her at one time for this and that and the other, and they didn't go well, and she fainted and had a little hard time. And her daughters came from California, brought her out here for her final days, and she passed away, I think, at the age of 97. But Edna was a great, great person. She tells a story of how during the Dust Bowl of the 30s out in rural Kansas, the horse was so unable to breathe because of the dust in its nostrils that she took her skirt off. Nobody could see because there was dust all around anyway, and cleaned the horse's nostrils and put the skirt around the horse's nose and led the horse home. And she said, "If my mother would have ever heard about that..." And so that was Edna. But you know, Edna had no children of her own. She lived in a big white two-story house on Lincoln Street in Topeka. And right beside her, in another big white two-story house on Lincoln Street, was her sister. And they were married to brothers. And her sister had child after child after child, but her and her husband had no children. But everybody on Lincoln Street that was under the age of 20 knew Edna as Mama Edna. She was a mother to many, many people, although she never gave birth to one. So that's what spiritual motherhood is like. That's what love and care for other people. You don't have to be a mother to give that, but it's great if you are. Hank and Henry. Now, in the case of Dan, he shows a lot of motherhood. You know Hank and Henry? Dan and Jean have two dogs named Hank and Henry, and Dan consistently mothers those dogs. And I'm thinking if Noah's wife mothered the animals on the ark the way Dan mothers Hank and Henry, she was busy, busy, busy indeed. So I have to narrow this down to somebody, and who will I tell of? In Hebrews 11 and verse 11, it says, "By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised." And just like the Hebrew writer says, "What more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson," and so on and so on and so on. So I'm narrowing it down to Sarah this morning. Sarah, mother of nations. Genesis 11, 27 through 30. Now these are the records of the generation of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran became the father of Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his birth, in Ur of the Chaldeans. Abram and Nahor took wives for themselves. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. Sarai was barren. She had no child. Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai his daughter-in-law. his son Abram's wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran and settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curse you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So here's the situation where God is making a promise to a man who has a barren wife. And the child that will be born to make that lineage would come from that barren wife. Isn't that interesting? So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his nephew and all their possessions which they had accumulated and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Ur is thought to have been an advanced society. I tried to find some pictures of what they thought Ur might have been like, but it's so difficult because they're really having a hard time pinpointing it on the map, and I said, oh, well, never mind. But what we have heard about Ur of Chaldees is that it was a developed society. It wasn't some podunk place in the middle of the desert. It was a place that was beautiful. It was a place that, according to the excavations in the area, actually may have had classrooms for the children. Kind of cool. And they actually did have indoor plumbing. Now, isn't that amazing in those times? Actually, one of the first places in the world with indoor plumbing. Nice, nice place to live. Sarai could have gone to the market. She could have brought back any kind of thing she wanted that was available. There was fruit, there were spices, there would be silk, there would be flowers. All around the town would be gardens and happy families. And it really might have been a pretty hard place to leave behind, but we don't read about Sarah complaining. She just did what she needed to do. Okay, we're going to leave it. We're going to go live in some tents. All right, whatever you say. So by faith, Abraham called when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive. Now, what we're reading about here is Abraham, but don't forget, she's going too, right? And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And of course, Sarah was right there alongside of him. Sarah was a beautiful person, a very beautiful woman, in spite of the fact that some might think that, oh, she was an older lady. And, you know, I was talking to someone the other day that, it was Beverly Bruce. We were talking, and Dan and I and Beverly were talking, and I said, you know, I have noticed that when women reach about the age of 74, they begin to proudly proclaim their age. They're proud of their, I'm 74 years old, you know. And before that, no, they're 39 or 29, you know. But suddenly when they reach the age of about 74, it's like a magic number, I don't know why, but they begin to tell everyone how old they are. But it says they went down to Egypt because of a famine, and Abraham was a little bit worried because of her beauty that people might try to snatch her away from him. And I think in their situation, if he were her brother, which he was actually her half-brother, then people might actually negotiate with him instead of killing him. If he was her husband, maybe they would just annihilate him and take her. But, you know, the right thing to do if he's the brother, you know, negotiate with him. Give him something in return, you know. And so they played that game, and Sarah cooperated in that game, and it was probably not the best thing to do, but, you know, it shows that they weren't really quite trusting God in this matter as much as they should have. But anyway, they made it through that. She participated in that, and they didn't get in any trouble, really, in the long run. But then it came time to get into a place where there was some nice land for them to have and no more famine, and they've already acquired a lot of animals and people to help them. And, you know, Lot and Abram had so much stuff that there was just not room. You know, the reason you build extra closets in your house, right? Or maybe in Kansas we have attics and basements, you know, so fill the attic, fill the basement, build a shed. We tend to gather things, you know, that's called stuff, clutter, etc. But they really had some necessary things, and they had too much for one area. So they said, okay, we're going to divide up this land, and if you want to go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you want to go to the left, I'll go to the right. And anyway, Lot ended up picking the very best-looking land, which now is a wasteland, but at that time it was pretty cool. And so they separate. You know, I don't ever hear Sarah complaining about that at all. I don't hear, oh, you let Lot get the best land. You know, we don't ever hear anything like that. Sarah just seems to go right along and cooperate and be the best person she knows how to be individually. Still wishing she had a child, you know. Still wishing she had a child. Even trying to manipulate that situation a little bit by trying to get a child through another woman. But here we find a situation where the promise gets imminent, like the promise is about to happen. In Genesis 18, 1 through 5, now the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre, speaking of Abraham, while he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So here they are in the tent, but at least God blessed them with some oak trees. It's always cooler. Have you ever noticed it's always cooler under an oak tree? I don't know, something about the way the leaves funnel the air, but it can be 120 degrees in Kansas, and you go find an oak tree, and you can still live underneath there, you know? When he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, the three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Now, Abraham should be expecting things like this to happen because God has already appeared to him and made him some promises, and he's just kind of, okay, I know someday it's going to happen. And so he says, please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring a piece of bread so that you may refresh yourselves. After that, you may go on, since you have visited your servant. And they said, so do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, prepare three measures of fine flour, knead it, and make bread cakes. So she was involved in showing the hospitality to these men from the tent. In spite of their situation, their circumstances, she could put out a good meal, and Abraham went and did his part, and they got all the things ready, and the men ate, and down at the bottom it says, then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, they're in the tent. And in Genesis 18, 10 through 13, he said, I will surely return to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I have become old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old? Something about this statement, you know, should put great joy in her heart, but then there's this predicament of, gee, I don't know if this can actually happen. So she's kind of laughing about it. Am I going to be able to have a child? What? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And he knew that she laughed, and it's okay. It's all right. I think maybe any of us might have laughed in that same situation. Genesis 18, 14 through 15, and here's something we need to remember in our own lives, amen. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah denied it, however, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Well, her laughter turned into smiling. Genesis 21, 1 through 3, then the Lord took note of Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And Isaac has a lot of meanings. It can mean the laughter of God, or it can just mean laughter. But maybe God was laughing along with Sarah when Sarah laughed. Like, yeah, I know, Sarah, this seems funny, but it's going to happen. Sarah was a person who was much mentioned in the Bible, much loved, very important mother in the Bible. She's mentioned by name over 60 times in the Bible. Now, there aren't many Bible characters in the Bible that were mentioned by name 60 times, you know? Sarah's a pretty important person. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I think she's the first mother of the first recorded miracle birth. You know, after that, there was Hannah, there was Elizabeth, there was Mary. But tell me if I'm wrong, she's at least one of the first. Genesis 23, 1 through 2, now Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan, and Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. We don't even know the name of Noah's wife, but we know all of these things about Sarah, mentioned over 60 times in the Bible by name. After this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, facing Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. Sarah was one who was used by the Apostle Peter as an example of shining forth an inward beauty that would proceed to the outside. She was outwardly beautiful. She also illustrates that the greatest beauty is a beauty that comes from within. Peter said, "Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God." And of course, this is in the context of Peter speaking about the example of Sarah. Sarah had her share of troubles and difficult circumstances and some amazing surprises along life's way. She faced difficult days with faith and faithfulness, even though she once laughed at the thought of God's promised blessing being for her. And I wonder sometimes if we laugh at the thought of God's promised blessings being for us. Don't laugh at the thought of that. God is willing to bless you. God wants to bless you in Jesus Christ. God wants to bless us all. She's a tremendous example for us today. Her inward beauty shines even now, even brighter than her outward beauty did back then. We need to do this in ourselves to bring out the best in ourselves. The faith and the love and the hope should be inside of us like it was in Sarah. And we can bring the best out in ourselves and in others when we give our best and we love like mothers. Hey, that rhymes, doesn't it? Oh, I told you I'd keep putting little rhymes in here. Let's see. Bring out the best in self and others. When we give our best, we love like mothers. Amen? Sarah is proof that any time in life can be the right time to mother someone. Even the way that Dan mothers Hank and Henry, and the way that Jean mothers John, and all the blessings that we see in the church family together. Don't laugh, look for opportunities. Sarah was willing to leave Ur and show hospitality from a tent in the wilderness. Surely we can all show some love and encouragement to one another. Amen? Anyone here that needs love and encouragement? All right, I see some hands. Okay. One thing for certain, mothers are valuable. Not all women are mothers, but they and even men can do some mothering to others in need. Admit it or not, we all like a little mothering, even as Dan gives to Hank and Henry, for certain spiritual mothering gives birth and encouragement to godliness. We can see the influence of good mothering on the life of a young man named Timothy. "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." So again, the idea of a great Christian man who traveled with Paul and learned from Paul. Paul chose him because of his character. And part of that good character came from the fact that he was taught by Lois and Eunice. God made me a child of Abraham too, did you know? I know that little children's song that we're all children of Abraham, right? In Galatians chapter 3, 26 through 29, it says, "For you are all sons of God," and that means children of God, "through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants heirs according to promise. Thank you, Grandmother Sarah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Abraham. Thank you, Jesus Christ. That is when God gives us an eternal tent in his spiritual city. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. And Sarah was there, offering hospitality from a tent. We get to live in God's city forever. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive. Now, she did laugh, but she also had faith. Amen? She had faith, and she conceived. Even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born, even of one man, and him as good as dead, at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Anyone ever try to take a bucket and go out and start counting grains of sand? I don't know, would you just count the ones in the first 2 inches of, would you go all the way down to the core? It'd be pretty hard to do, wouldn't it? Well, it would just make a 10-foot square and see how many grains of sand are in the top 3 inches. Oh, man, I don't know. Revelation 22, 12 through 15, there is an eternal city. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. Through Jesus Christ, this eternal city belongs to you. If there's anything we can do, we want to offer you an opportunity to put on Christ this morning in baptism. If it's time, if it's not time, don't do it. And we also want to offer you the prayers of the congregation, encouragement of the congregation, a study, special study with you, for you, anything we can do for you. We're here. Please come as we stand and as we sing.